from In Goal Magazine. Kevin Woodley joins us now. Kevin, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing?
My pleasure. Doing good. It's nice to have a little break here, but not much before we get into draft and free agency. And it never ends, does it, guys?
No, it never does. And it's exciting time in Edmonton. There's a renewed optimism after 9 years of sucking. So that's a welcome change for a talk show host, I can tell you that. There's no surprise. The Oilers obviously are looking at shoring up their goaltending position. And I'm not saying Ben Scrivens is the worst goalie in the league, but obviously he needs to be more consistent. Their team defense has to improve, and they hope it does with a new coach. But Cam Talbot, Eddie Lack, Jacob Markstrom, Robert Leonard, those are guys who we know are on the market. In Vancouver, one of the two after what their GM said yesterday. So let's start there. Out of those four, from what you've seen, which one do you like the best and why?
Immediately, I've got Talbot and Lack at the head of that class. Long-term, Lehner has the ability to be right there with him. I mean, he's a guy that when he came over from Sweden, there was so much potential there. And it is a little ironic to say this, given how much hype we've heard out of Ottawa about what they expect to get for Robin Lehner. And all of that taken with a grain of salt, given what the market really is compared to what a GM thinks he can sell for. But Robin Lehner has regressed significantly over the last 3 years during his time in Ottawa. So I did find it a little ironic that Matt O'Connor pointed to the development of goaltenders in Ottawa, and yet it hasn't been the case at all for Robin Lehner there. So he still has that potential, guys, but there's work to do on him, technically, especially, to get there. And I don't think if you're the Oilers, you know, a team that, like you said off the top, has to improve defensively. I mean, if there's one caveat to every comment about goaltenders, it's that the position never exists in a vacuum. And you give up the type of looks that the Oilers and make the type of mistakes that the Oilers have for years, and that's going to wear a goaltender down pretty quick. So, you know, obviously they're going to try and rectify that, but it's not usually an overnight process. So you combine that with a goaltender also trying to make changes, and you know, I don't know if I was really being honest, if the best guy for the mix might be the other goaltender in Ottawa, in Craig Anderson, who, you know, you can criticize the Canucks for bringing in Miller and the contract especially and the situation it's putting him in or them in with the salary cap, but there is a real value to the experience and the been there, done that factor that a Craig Anderson would bring to Edmonton, that a Ryan Miller brought to Vancouver, as much as his numbers weren't what they had hoped over the course of his first season.
Kevin, we sort of came out at Lack and Talbot out of that group as well before you came on. Now, when you assess goaltenders, there's the old eyeball test. That's the obvious one. The second one for me is saves percentage, but you've got to take a whole bunch of other factors into account. What do you weigh most heavily statistically when it comes to assessing goaltenders?
Well, I mean, save percentage scratches the surface, and I guess given the readily available metrics, it's probably the best one. But what save percentage doesn't tell you, and I know that war on ice, you know, a lot of people have put value in some of the new statistics we're seeing from war on ice, and me too, in terms of low danger, medium danger, and high danger shots, and breaking it down further in terms of, you know, how a guy fares based on those shots compared to just an overall save percentage. Again, added value in that, but none of it, to me, means much without the context of how that shot came about. Shot location does not dictate shot quality. There are just so many factors, and we're only really scratching the surface of sort of being able to try and break them down. I think that the work that Steven Valiquette, former Rangers goaltender and now an analyst on MSG Networks, has done is kind of a part of that next level analysis. You know, he's established something called the Royal Road, which kind of splits the offensive zone right down the middle between the goal line and the top of the circles. And so, you know, the work that he's done has shown that any play, whether carried across that line or passed across that line, again, below the top of the circles, any play that forces a goaltender to readjust his position and his angle from one side of the other to his crease dramatically increases the shooting percentage and therefore dramatically decreases the save percentage on that type of chance. And so location isn't enough. Save percentage isn't enough. If you think that Cam Talbot is going to come from New York, where he was, by all indications and without having the ability to look at all the numbers I just talked about, start to finish for the Rangers and the Oilers, but far more insulated there than he would have been in Edmonton. If you think that's going to translate directly in terms of numbers like save percentage to him playing behind what the Oilers had last year, that's a pipe dream. It's just not happening. There is just way too many different factors in terms of the quality of shots and the types of chances that he would face. And it's not just on a one-off basis. It's how that piles up. You watch your team screw up and not cover the back door enough. You watch them leave guys wide open on your backside enough. You're going to start to cheat. And as soon as you start to cheat at this level, especially when your team's surrendering time and space, guys are going to start to pick you short side. So it's not just the hard analytics of types of scoring chances. It's how teams that give up more of them can leave their goaltender guessing a lot more often, because at the end of the day, it's not that he maybe doesn't want to trust his defense, but he can't after a while because they haven't proven trustworthy. And so that all kind of tends to snowball. And you get into situations with some teams where it snowballs to the point, Devan Dubnyk is a prime example, where it doesn't matter whether the team fixes it and gets better at it and the goalie starts to try. Like, the trust factor is just broken. You can get to a certain point. Steve Mason in Columbus, look at the success he's had in Philadelphia. You can get to a certain point where once a goaltender's seen enough of that, he doesn't trust his team. And then those bad goals I talked about, once you start cheating, his team's seen enough of that, they don't trust him. So they're trying to do his job. He doesn't trust them to do their job. And it's a great big mess. And, I don't know if the Oilers are there with Scrivens or not. I think he's a smart enough guy to kind of figure his way through it. But I've seen it with other teams where you get to that point and there's no coming back. So it's a tough spot for them. As much as goaltending is a focus, it's not going to fix itself unless you fix what's going on in front of them as well.
Kevin Woodley joins us, and that's very accurate, Kevin. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, the Oilers, I think Peter Chiarelli talked about it. He mentioned it very clearly. He's got to improve the defense, and, you know, he'd like to improve the goaltending, but the defense is the number one area, and it's the overall team defense. So if we're just evaluating the goalies taken out of the system they're playing in, or the players behind them, because obviously that's what the Oilers scouts are looking at. They're like, okay, so if Cam Talbot comes here, is he going to give us a better chance than Lehner or Eddie Lack or Markstrom, you know, whoever it is? And so it's got to be based on just their style of play and their goaltenders. And you had mentioned you had Talbot and Lack at the top and Lehner, and then you didn't mention Markstrom. So I'm curious, you know, Markstrom, you know, was a guy who was up and down and really struggled. This year was predominantly an AHL goaltender, and I've talked to many scouts. They said he was by far the best. It wasn't close. His numbers were great. Then he won the championship, and maybe finally he just kind of clued in, because most goalies, it seems to take till they're 24, 5, 6, or 7 until they really develop. What do you like about Markstrom's game? What do you see as his top-end potential? Does he have better top-end potential than Talbot or Lack?
I personally don't think so.
Okay.
And I've had a chance to see him in person. Here's the thing. I don't judge Jacob Markstrom. A lot of people pointed at his NHL numbers and say, well, he's had all the success in the AHL, but he hasn't done it at the NHL. And I don't judge him at the NHL level, with the exception of last year and this year, because that's the first time in his career after coming to Vancouver where they really started to rein in his positioning. For a guy his size, he was way too aggressive and he moved too much. When you play outside the blue ice at his size, you have to move more. If you have to move more at his size, you open up more holes while moving. And there were just way too many pucks early in his career, right into the American Hockey League level even, watching him early on, that just went through him. You have to learn to use your size as an asset, and there are times when that means just being in position and closing those holes and not allowing those pucks to get through you. And so they've given him a system in Vancouver that allows him to use his size more efficiently. He does move very explosively for a big goaltender. He's got all those tools. The one part that I'm not as certain of is what I like to refer to as his block-react threshold. At what point on the ice, in terms of how close that play gets to you, where is he need to be blocking instead of reacting? And that threshold for Eddie Lack is very high. I think it's pretty high for Cam Talbot as well, though obviously I get to see Markstrom and Lack here in Vancouver a lot more closely on an everyday, you know, through training camp and those types of situations than I have Cam Talbot. I don't think that Jacob Markstrom's threshold in that regard is quite as high. And so he's a guy that needs to be blocking more because he doesn't have the ability or the puck tracking or the reactional skills to be in a pure react mode in tight. And when he tries to, and he got away with it early in his career and overseas, and he was in fact praised for it when everybody was talking about him being the best goaltender not in the NHL, they praised him because he didn't drop too early. Well, as soon as he got over here, that patience became a curse because guys just shot it right through him and he couldn't close the hole. So he doesn't have that same sort of block-react threshold as a Lack, as I believe a Talbot does. That doesn't mean he's not, I believe he's an NHL goaltender, but to me that is sort of one of the, you have to be more than a blocker. You have to be athletic. He is athletic. I just don't know whether it's solid NHLer or has the ability to be at that other level. And I have seen signs from Talbot and definitely signs from Lack that they have both. And so they have the ability to kind of take it. They've got a higher threshold, a higher potential, I believe, than Jacob Markstrom does. And hey, listen, guys, I'm biased when it comes to Eddie Lack because I've gotten to see him work in person. I got to see there's a guy whose body broke down entirely after John Tortorella overplayed him so badly down the stretch in an Olympic year. What did he do in the summer? He hired a trainer, had him move in with him in Sweden, came back, I mean, physical specimen, totally different goaltender physically than he was the year before, gets the opportunity down the stretch this year. He's able to handle it physically. So he took a step this year. What does he do at the end of the season? He recognizes some weaknesses. He brings in a goaltending coach named Lyle Mast, who works with OR Sports, who is one of the guys who helped through his head trajectory teachings, help Dubnyk make his big turnaround last year. And Eddie brought him in for 3 days and got on board with that program. And I was lucky enough to be on the ice and watch tangible differences. Track reacted to pucks and moved on the ice based exclusively on that. This is a guy that is really driven and puts the work in to be a number one. And so having had the privilege of seeing how he treats it and how serious he is, I believe that you're going to see an even bigger step from him next year. And so whoever is buying on Eddie Lack, if the Canucks are, in my opinion, foolish enough to let him go in favor of Markstrom, I believe they're going to be buying at the exact right time.
Interesting. Yeah, we've been, like I say, we've been bouncing between the two for a while now. Let me ask you this, Kevin, put you on the spot a little bit, because I don't know how much you've seen him. One of the arguments here is obviously Shirelli's got to get this team better in goal as well as defense. And if there's not a free agent or a trade out there, and with the number of picks they have, people are going, what about Samsonov? Do you take a guy like Samsonov at 16? They also have 33. I don't know if he'll be there then. What's your read on Samsonov? How much have you seen of him?
My impression is that he won't be there at 33. In some ways, it's almost too bad you didn't get a chance to see more Vasilevskiy in the playoffs. Because the Russians right now are sort of, they're the next popular trend when it comes to goaltending. And there's a concrete reason why you're going to see a run on Russian goaltenders. And it's not just the Bobrovsky success or, you know, the Varlamov in Colorado or the potential we see in Vasilevskiy. It's the reason that that's happening. You've had a lot of goaltending coaching at a very young age in Canada and even the United States and now in Finland and now in Sweden. We've heard about it. In Russia, they're far more raw, and they haven't had that coaching up until the last year. Last year, the Russian junior MHL bought the rights to the Swedish goaltending instructional program, translated to Russian, and began teaching it. So you're seeing a lot of these kids who haven't been turned into little robots at a young age by overcoaching. They've been allowed to sort of learn the game, react to it, figure it out on their own, develop their athletic skill set and tools. And now at a later age, you're adding those layers of technique. And I think you're going to see a run on Russian goaltenders as a result of that, starting with Samsonov, possibly as a first-round pick in a deep draft this year. Wouldn't be surprised. But again, there's a big transition there. Vasilevskiy looks like he's going to be able to make it pretty quickly. But to count on a kid to be able to make it quickly, that's a big ask. And to make it in an environment like Edmonton defensively, I mean, in terms of what a goaltender faces, where they are and how where they were last year and what kind of steps they can make to this year, that's an even bigger ask. They lean and they have leaned more heavily on their goaltenders. And so to put a young goaltender in that situation to me is even riskier, because there's still a process that some of these guys have to go through. So if you're taking Samsonov, it could be a great pick down the road, but it's not a now or next year or maybe even 2 years from now. I mean, I hear about it in this market in Vancouver all the time. Thatcher Demko, you know, it doesn't matter what you do now because Demko's going to be ready. Thatcher Demko is 4 years away minimum from being an NHL goaltender. I got a chance to see him at the prospects camp last year, and for all the, and this is where it kind of blows me away when I read these scouting reports as we head into a draft, and even what the Canucks said when they drafted him, technically sound this and that, and there were more holes in his game that were so readily evident after 5 minutes on the ice, I was shocked. I mean, clear deficiencies on the blocker side in terms of how he moved, delays in his lateral movement on the blocker side. Those things don't fix themselves. And then you've also got the transition from the NCAA, probably less so for a Samsonov coming from playing against men in Russia, but it's not the same game. You don't just snap your fingers. There's a learning process to playing, A, the North American pro game, then B, the American Hockey League, and then C, the NHL. There are just, it's a different game, and there are adjustments that have to be made at each level. So if you're looking to find the future in goal at this year's draft, the potential is there. But if you're counting on that future inside the next 3 or 4 years, I think that would be foolish.
Kevin, quickly, to wrap up, the orders, we all agree the defense has to improve. But if the defense improves, which goalie, like if you had to choose between Talbot or Lack, who do you think would be the best goalie to acquire for the Edmonton Oilers, considering return and everything else?
I would go with Eddie Lack. And again, it's probably not fair to Cam Talbot. He made steps this year. Do not underestimate the step he took learning what it takes to be a number one. That is a stride that a lot of goalies talk about, and he struggled with it. When Henrik Lundqvist first went down, go back and watch his first 4 and 5 games. He was not good at all. You lose the ability to manage your game in practice that you have as a backup goaltender. When something goes wrong, you don't get to go for half an hour on the ice with Benoit Laire before your next start to fix it, because you're just managing your fatigue level. And he went through that learning curve, struggled with it early after Lundqvist went down, but got better over time. That was a big step for him. It's another step to be a 65-game goaltender. I think Lack's closer to that step than Cam Talbot is. You add that to what I've been able to see from Eddie as a character, the personality, and the way he'd be able to handle a Canadian marketplace. Again, not knowing that Talbot can't, but not knowing him well enough to say honestly right now, I would pick Eddie Lack.
Kevin, outstanding stuff on a very tough position to analyze. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for putting up with my rambling.